they are very closely attuned to what's happening in Washington. Clearly, a lot of concern in Canada about what might happen with NAFTA, what might happen in terms of tariffs that the Trump administration might impose, what's going on in the auto industry, because as you, I'm sure, are aware, we have a tremendous amount of supply chain activity going back and forth between the United States and Canada in the auto industry. And we have that happening in the Niagara Falls area. We have it happening in Michigan, in many ports. So those are real potential impactors for the Canadians at every level, both, if you will, the ground level, what's happening between businesses, but also what's happening between the governments.
Do the nominees for the cabinet positions comprehend the importance of Canada and the concerns that Canada has?
It's unclear to me that the people who have been nominated in many of the positions, particularly if you're talking about the trade representative, the Department of Commerce, the Secretary of State, have a comprehensive understanding of the U.S.-Canada trade relationship. And that's obviously very problematic, particularly for those of us in the North Country, because we do, in fact, get tremendous benefit from this relationship that we have and the number of Canadian businesses that operate in our communities. So very troubling in my view. And you're not hearing much in the way of inquiry about those concerns. And that also is a little bit troubling. So I'm hopeful that what will happen is that other events will overtake the Trump administration, and they will become less focused on NAFTA and in particular the U.S.-Canada border, and focus more on issues like building the wall along the Mexican border. And not that I think building the wall is a particularly good idea, but if it deflects interest away from us, I think we're much better off flying under the radar, if you will, for the early months of the Trump administration than we are being, if you will, front and center.
Well, so Bill Owens, if there is this concern, is trade, security, tourism between the U.S. and Canada at risk in a Trump administration?
I think it is. I think there is a level of risk. And again, it's probably going to take us 3 to 6 months to see where the focus is. But if you tear up NAFTA, if you decide that you're going to attempt to renegotiate it in ways that are very damaging to the trade relationship, I think that's problematic. You know, I think that oftentimes people forget how important Canada is to our regional security and international. They have been huge supporters of American activities for really since World War II. We have many governmental interactions at the national defense level that are, in fact, misunderstood or not known in the United States. And we do not want to place ourselves in a position where we take viscerally appealing positions and do something very negative to the overall relationship. And I think that we have to hope that over time, the folks who become senior officials in the Trump administration understand that and don't focus on the solely on the job issue, because as a practical matter, NAFTA is not even the primary cause of jobs leaving the United States. Much of that has got to do with the mechanization, the increase in use in robots, currency manipulation by China, the simple fact that goods can be produced much cheaper in lower-cost jurisdictions, China, Mexico, et cetera. And they are not caused by NAFTA. Now, NAFTA may play a role to some degree, but they are not the primary cause. And that we have been I think we've misunderstood that, and we've allowed political rhetoric to take a position that is simply inaccurate.
Moving away from the U.S. and Canada, obviously in the last couple of days we've seen even more news flare up regarding President-elect Trump and his relationship with Russia. What do you make of what we know about Mr. Trump's relationship with Russia and what there is speculation regarding his relationship with Russia?
We have a lot of very disturbing commentary. We don't have enough facts yet to draw a conclusion, but there's a lot of disturbing general commentary that I think is very, very problematic.
What came out yesterday with BuzzFeed is not substantiated, but there's a lot of people that believe it just because of what's been reported on in the past. How damaged is the Trump administration before he's even inaugurated?
Well, you know, if you in politics, unfortunately, what you have is those who supported Mr. Trump will ignore this information. Those who were against Mr. Trump will take it as gospel. And the truth is somewhere in between. And we don't have enough analysis going on. We need to make sure that we get the facts. And if the facts are substantiated, then I think we have a very substantial issue that we need to spend some time looking into. What troubles me is the, if you will, Mr. Trump's cavalier attitude towards a major issue that is being raised. And in contrast, you have other Republicans like Lindsey Graham and John McCain who are saying this is serious and we need to dig into it. So you have the battle going on. We need to let this sort of sort itself out and learn what the actual facts are and see where that takes us.
Bill Owens, former congressman, you are a Democrat and you're going to the inauguration?
I am. And you say that with some surprise, Pat. So this really goes back to the opportunity that I have because I was invited by the Canadian ambassador, Mr. McNaughton, to come to attend the inauguration event, which they've had for many years. They have a beautiful facility in D.C. and they have a rooftop patio garden facility, which happens to overlook the Capitol. And therefore, we will be able to physically see the inauguration occurring. This is an opportunity from my perspective because of the relationship between our region, the communities I used to represent, and Canada, that when you get the opportunity to be there and to say we're supportive of this relationship, we're supportive of NAFTA, I anticipate seeing Jean-Claude Lauzon, who's the Delegate General of Quebec, as well as many consular officials. So it gives me an opportunity, if you will, to network with these people and to continue to push the relationship that our region has with Canada, Quebec in particular, again, because I think it's so important.
I also am wondering if you watched President Obama's farewell speech last night.
I did. I watched almost all of it. Almost all of it.
What'd you make of it?
Well, I thought, as usual, he gave an outstanding performance. He is probably the best orator I have seen in my lifetime, at least as president. And, you know, he raised a lot of important points. I think that the question of what his legacy will be, unfortunately, is going to be tied up much in the Obamacare issue. Assuming that it does get undone, which now seems maybe a little less likely. But I thought it was a good performance. He has always been a class act. There is no doubt about that. His ability to deliver a message is superb. His intellect, we all know, is superb. So I think he delivered the messages he wanted to deliver last night very effectively. But we'll get, of course, the same reaction we always do. That is, those who supported him will be wildly enthusiastic. Those who opposed him will find nothing of value in his speech. And again, the truth is somewhere in between.
And I just want to step back for a second. You touched on it a couple minutes ago. Congress. You are a former member of Congress. You're a Democrat. We now have a Republican-controlled Congress. Where do you think Congress will do the most damage from your Democratic perspective?
I think that there's certainly danger in the health care bill, really creating chaos in the health care system that I don't think Republicans have a particularly good understanding of, and one might say may not care about. That's a significant issue because it's one thing, if you will, to say I don't like Obamacare and I'm going to get rid of it, but not to replace it with something I think is irresponsible. And I think they do not understand that if they vote to repeal and delay and replace later, that that's not how the marketplace is going to respond. Insurance companies, healthcare providers are going to devolve, I think, into some level of real concern, and the system could move to chaos. So I think, in particular, we're now starting to see a number of Republican senators who are saying, I'm not voting to repeal until we actually have a replacement bill. And I think if that happens, then I think you're in a much different posture. What I think will occur is I think the House will vote to repeal Obamacare because they have a much easier process to do that. But I think this could get tied up in the Senate. And if you see the House voting for repeal, the Senate unable to pass repeal legislation, I think the core of Republicans could become very agitated about that.
When you were in Congress, you were very proud of the fact that you had read the entire ACA. Do you know anyone that is currently in Congress that did the same?
No, I don't. Not only did I actually sit down and read it, but I took notes and I wrote out questions. I would have done that as a lawyer. I would have done that kind of work in preparation for this, for a presentation, if you will, or to question someone. But I don't know of anyone else who has read it.
Bill Owens, thank you.
Thank you, Pat.